So let's have a little meditation. Let's just give ourselves a chance to get centered a little bit. Kind of take a shower. Wash off the day. Wash off the week. Building a bridge of light upward to the higher spheres, the higher planes of reality. You might picture a beam of light coming out of the top of your head. A beam of light going straight up out of the top of your head, as high as you can imagine. Imagine you are connecting with the source of all life. Imagine you are drinking in energy and light until every cell in your body is aglow with light and energy. Picture your mind as a clear mountain lake with every sail clearly reflecting the lights of a higher plane of reality. Imagine that every thought, imagine that every sail in your mind is now linked to your higher mind, the universal mind, the God mind, all that is. As you keep imagining this link, you are creating it as real. As you keep imagining this link to God, your higher self, you are making it real. Imagine that you are aligning your will with the higher will. You might imagine a cord of light coming out of your solar plexus, right around your navel. And imagine that light coming out of you just above your navel, linking you with the source of all life. You are connected with light. Picture this source of energy as a golden globe of energy. Imagine a golden globe of energy about 6 inches above your head. And slowly bring that globe of energy down into your body. Imagine a globe of energy above your head, and imagine it going down into your body. Letting that globe of energy align all of the energy in your body with your higher light. You are unlimited. You are a being unlimited by nature, born into flesh to materialize as best you can the great joy and spontaneity of your nature. You are a being unlimited by nature, born into flesh to materialize as best you can the great joy and spontaneity of your nature. You are safe. You are healed. You are complete. You are whole. You are beautiful. You are sinless. You are guiltless. You may make mistakes, but mistakes are for correction, not for punishment. Mistakes are for correction. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So take a breath. Nice, isn't it? A lot of music I get are just gifts, and they don't always have labels, and just call it cool. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, so the only guidelines to the Course in Miracles. You don't have to believe anything you hear tonight. You don't have to accept anything you hear tonight. You don't have to welcome anything you hear tonight. Some of the ideas you're going to find hard to believe. You're going to go something like, I find it hard to believe. or, you know, I don't believe it. So when you find yourself saying that, remember I told you. Some of it's going to startle you. Some of it you're going to have some resistance to. You're not asked to judge the ideas at all. The great higher council of higher spirits has not called us here to judge the ideas. It's using the ideas that will show you that the ideas are true. Using them. Okay? So if there's a message here for you tonight, be on the lookout for your message. You'll know your message because it'll impact you on the inside. The rest of it, just drop it. It doesn't make any difference. It's not important. You don't have to believe everything I say. Okay? But if you get your message, you'll know it. So be on the lookout for your message. It isn't about whether or not what I'm saying is credulous. One of my favorite lines in the Course says your understanding is not a powerful contribution to the truth. No, I love it. Your understanding is not a powerful contribution to the truth. It doesn't make it true. So it's not like something isn't true unless you think it is. I know that's hard to believe, but they're actually whether you believe it or not, has absolutely no meaning to something that's the truth. If you believe it, that's great. If you don't believe it, it's still going to happen. If it's the truth. That's why I was a truth seeker. Because I wanted to get in touch with the stuff that was true no matter what. Something that didn't change from culture to culture, race to race, belief system to belief system, country to country. I wanted to get in touch with what are the underlying laws that govern everything that has nothing to do with the games that we're playing at a human level. Because in case you haven't noticed, the human games suck. The human game is competition, fear, attack, jealousy, insecurity, controlling, domination, death, injury, attack, broken
and two bad periods when you go see Star Wars, which I will be seeing Tuesday. So we got left off in last episode. We were talking about the dreamer of the dream.
What page is that, Earl?
It's on page 582.
582?
Mm-hmm. This is the reasoning that the world rests on. This is the reasoning by which the world is maintained, on page 582. This is the reasoning by which the world is maintained. It simply is this. You low down son of a gun, are the cause of what I do. Your very presence justifies my wrath. Your very presence justifies my anger. And you exist and you think separate from me, differently from me, apart from me. And while you keep attacking me, while you keep hurting me, I am innocent. And what I'm suffering from is your attack. What I'm suffering from is somebody else's attack. I am the victim. The world's belief is based on the idea, I am the victim, 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 I am the victim of you. You did something to me. So now we've got to allow ourselves to go beyond that. It's time for us to have an exorcism of that part of us that believes that it's a victim of everybody else. That believes that you feel the way you do right now because of somebody else. You the way you are right now because of the way your parents are. You the way you are right now because of your race or your sex or your social economic background. That you are a victim. This is the idea that the court says the world just loves and the world just really supports the idea that you are a victim. That what you're going through right now is being caused by somebody else. How you feel right now is being caused by somebody else instead of you. And if you're going to be a victim, you got to have someone who's the perpetrator. So if you're going to be a victim and you don't love yourself and you think you deserve to be punished, that's what happened yesterday when I saw my cell phone bill. Can't remind me the way I felt when I saw my cell phone bill. If you're going to be the victim of somebody else, then it can't look like you're doing it to yourself. So the way you do it to yourself is you use other people to do it to you. When you don't love yourself and you don't think you deserve to be happy, you use other people to do it to you. You suffer from what it looks like someone else's hand, because even to us it seems crazy for you to attack yourself. So if you're going to attack yourself, but you don't want to seem crazy enough to attack yourself, you'll make it look like it's somebody else that's hurting you, or somebody else that needs to change, or somebody else that needs to do something different in order for you to be happy. Whew. Now, when you're ready to wake up to who you really are, you want to start looking behind what appears to be the obvious. And what appears to be the obvious is that it looks like somebody's doing it to you. So since it looks like somebody's doing it to you, there's no need to go beyond the obvious, which is it looks like somebody's doing it to me. But when you come to a class like this, it's because you're getting ready to go beyond that belief. And so the course says the first thing you have to do is stop dwelling on your suffering, because the suffering is just a reflection of what's causing the suffering. So now we're at the point, and I'm kind of jumping around because I'm reviewing from last week. If you see a world of evil, if you see a world of pain, if you see a world of fear, then there's something in you that has a need to see it. I mean, if you're going to be punished, if you're not okay, if you're going to suffer at somebody else's hands, then I have a need to see that. If I'm a victim, then I have the need to see something being done to me so I can be right about being the victim. So, the Course is saying then that the guilt that we feel is coming from our need to see something in ourselves and in somebody else that's not even there. And we know that every time we see guilt and sin in ourselves or somebody else, we're betraying ourselves, and so we feel guilty. So all guilt is nothing but a reflection of a feeling of self-betrayal. Dang. So in separation from your brother, that was the first attack upon yourself begun. So my first attack upon myself was when I started to see myself as separate and different from everybody else. That was my first attack upon myself, was when I started seeing you as having some quality that's not in me. When I started to see me as having some quality that's not in you. When I started to see us as separate, when I started to see us as different, that was when I started attacking myself. Because all the attacks is really coming from believing that there's some quality in me or some quality in you that we don't both have. And the only difference between any of us in this room is that we feel the same things at different times. That's the only difference between us. We all have the same feelings at different times. We are exactly alike. And so my attack upon myself began when I started to separate myself from everything around me, therefore isolating myself and making myself alone. Attacking myself is making myself alone. So stop looking around for another cause. Of course, it says stop looking among the many mighty legions of the witnesses for its undoing. Your old way of thinking, it just supports this claim to your allegiance of being a victim. What conceals the truth is not where you should look to find the truth. So all the witnesses to your sin, all the witnesses to your guilt, they stand within one little space, usually in the space that a person stands in. All the witnesses to your sinful and guilty nature, he says, stand within one little space. For instance, if I'm standing here and I'm telling you, you're no good, you're low down, you don't treat me right, you don't have any love in you, you're selfish. I'm the witness to how sinful you are, standing in a little space. The Course is just literally true, and that's how people miss it. It means what it says. And see, you know, everybody goes into, let's find a deeper meaning. And so we go to this deeper meaning, let me figure out what it means, get my meaning of its meaning. It's like, well, the truth is, everything that's hurting you is coming from the belief that somebody else is doing it to you. But really, you're doing it to yourself because you don't love yourself. So you're trying to punish yourself all the time. But it seems crazy for you to hurt yourself all the time. So you get other people to do it for you.
Whether they want to or not.
Because you're going to see them doing it to you whether they're trying to or not. So they're going to witness to you whatever it is you want to see about yourself. Then he says, and it is here you find the cause of your perspective on the world. Once you were unaware of what caused everything that the world appeared to thrust upon you uninvited and unasked, now you understand what it must really be. But there was one thing the Course says all of you were sure of all the many causes you perceived as bringing you pain, of all the many causes you perceived as bringing suffering to you, your guilt was not among them. And you don't feel like in any way you requested any of this for yourself. Is that true?
True.
I mean, the average person, they don't think they requested any of the stuff that they don't like for themselves. And the Course says, if you're ready to assume your mission. Of the many causes you see is bringing your pain and suffering, your guilt was not among them. It looks like you didn't request this stuff that you're going through. It looks like you didn't request the stuff that you're going through right now. And that's how all your illusions came about. All of your false ideas, all of your pain, all of your suffering, all of your upset came about because the one who makes it doesn't see themselves as making it. The one who makes the illusions do not see themselves as making the illusions. And it looked like the reality of what you are going through doesn't depend on you. It looks like that suffering or hurting or pain that you're going through, it seems like the reality of it doesn't depend on you. Whatever cause your suffering seems to have, it's something quite apart from you. And what you're looking at is something separate from your own mind. And you don't doubt the reality of your dream. You don't doubt the reality of what you see. The reason why you don't doubt the reality of what you see, the reason why you don't doubt the reality of your hurt, the reason why you don't doubt the reality of your suffering, the reason why you don't doubt the reality of your belief is because you don't see the part you play in making it and making it seem real. You don't doubt it's real because you don't see the part you're playing in making it real. So it's time for us to like stalk our own insanity. It's time for us to start investigating and spying on our own ego, the part of you that would hurt yourself. So I'm going to say this again because this is a very important point. The reason why you don't doubt that you're right or the suffering that you're going through at the hands of someone else or some situation outside of yourself, because there's a reason why you don't doubt it's real, is because you don't see the part you played in making it happen. The fact that you don't see how you caused it,
yeah.
That's what makes you not doubt that it's real. Now, you cannot awaken from a dream that somebody else is dreaming for you. And you can't awaken from a problem that somebody else made for you. And if you think you are a part of something that's creating your life outside of you that you have nothing to do with, like the Course says, no one can awaken from a dream, the world is dreaming for him. So it looks like right now you have become a part of someone else's dream. It looks like you cannot even choose to awaken from a dream you didn't make. In other words, for some of us in some areas of our life, helpless we stand, looking like we are a victim to a dream conceived and cherished by a separate mind from ours. It looks like whatever created us is careless indeed of us. This mind that made me really must not care a whole lot about me. It looks like this mind that created me is totally thoughtless of my peace. It looks like the mind that created me is as thoughtless of my peace and happiness as is the weather or the time of day. It looks like whatever created me really doesn't love me for me to be going through so much, broken into by periods in which I seem to have some reasonable peace. It looks like whatever created me just cast me in any role that it wanted to. I didn't have no choice but to be born Earl Purdy Black Man. I had no choice. I just showed up in this body. You know what I'm saying? And you just showed up in a female body, whatever race you are. You just showed up in whatever male body. You didn't have nothing to do with it. You just showed up. So little is your worth that you are nothing but a dancing shadow. Leaping up and down according to a senseless plot conceived within the idle dreaming of this world. Have a nice friggin' day. The Course in Miracles just lays it out. It just lays it out. I mean, this book can say more in one or two paragraphs than books I read from cover to cover, so it's just stuff for you to think about. You mean you wouldn't believe that I just covered two paragraphs. And if we would be honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that all of us at one time or another in our lives have felt this. Like we were just cast in some kind of play that we didn't have any say-so about, dancing up and down. And matter of fact, I was leaping and dancing just the other night. Oh, God. I'm just down to my sense of humor. I'm going to hold on to that. You know what I'm saying? The Course in Miracles said, how did we get here? Well, you had an idea that you forgot to laugh at. And you took it as a serious idea, capable of being accomplished. And as a child of God, whatever you think you can perceive and experience and create, and you don't know that that's what you've done, that you are a child of God with unlimited powers, using your unlimited powers to create the illusion that you are a physical body with a short time to live before you die. You know, it's like when you're a little kid and you play with figures and toys and you make a whole world in your mind and you're out there and you're playing whatever you play. If you're a boy, usually you're playing some kind of soldiers, cowboys, or whatever you're playing, right? But my mama was in the house and I was playing cowboy. When I bumped off somebody, she didn't run out in the backyard and go, boy, what you kill that imaginary cowboy for? My mother knew all of that was going on in my imagination. I was totally safe and nothing was going to happen. Now, if you were to up your conception of yourself to being an unlimited child of God, you would realize that what you are doing is experiencing an exaggerated version of the same thing you did as a child, only now you are the living doll. You're like an artist who paints a portrait and then puts himself in it. And so you've forgotten you're the painter. You spill some paints all over you, which you call your sins. You won't wash them off. You're like a painter with paint all over his head going, ah! You know. You're not guilty. You're not sinful. You make errors. Errors are for correction. We are loved. We are loved by an unlimited creator that loves all of us equally. We are suffering from our own belief in guilt. That's what's causing all your suffering. You think you're separate from God. Love, truth, whatever words you want to use, since people got, you know, God hang up words. You know. You with me? You hear me? You don't have to believe it. I just want you to, if you listen to me with your soul instead of your ego, your intellect, and just get deep down and let's communicate soul to soul, you'll remember what I'm talking about. But we got to go deeper than our day-to-day mind, the one that's out there in the world worrying about how much gas costs a gallon. That mind is not the one that's going to get nothing out of this class. That's the mind that keeps you in the illusion of suffering. So it's going to distort everything I say so that you keep the fear that maintains your separation from God. That's deep. What I mean by God is love. The unlimited love that created us. Okay. Then it says, this is the only picture you can see, what we're looking at every day on the news. This is the one alternative that you can choose. The other possibility of cause, if you're not the one that's dreaming your dreams, if you're not the one that's creating your experience, then the only other alternative that there can be is that you are a victim of something that was conceived and cherished by somebody other than you. You're in a world that's careless of you. You're in a world that doesn't care anything about your happiness. You're in a world that doesn't love you, that casts you in any role or job. It looks like you're just this dancing shadow trying to please everybody, jumping up and down. What can I do for you? Okay, I'm sorry. I'll do it different. What can I do? I'm sorry. Something wrong with me. I wish I could do it different. I'm working on myself. I'm going to try to do better. I'm jumping and dancing all the way around. So it said, the Course says, either it's that way for you or you're the one that's creating it. Either you're the victim or you're the creator. There's no in between. So then, and what's deep is that my mind used to say, well, what about, you know, it would bring up all these situations. What about innocent little children and little babies that was just born into the world? Nothing in the world could they create anything that happened. That's a baby body. That soul is as old as you. Birth is not a beginning. Birth is a continuation. It's the sequel. You know what I'm saying? This, your life is a sequel. Now, then the court says, well, do you have to believe in reincarnation? Certainly not. You don't have to. The truth doesn't require you to believe in reincarnation. That's not important at all. Because in the real sense, there's no such thing as reincarnation. Because you just have one life and it lasts forever. But in that one life you have forever, you wear a lot of different bodies like you wear a lot of different clothes. And you don't confuse yourself with your clothes, even though it's the same person that's been wearing all those clothes. But think of each outfit as another life. And you'll understand your relationship to reincarnation. And whether it's true or not is not important, because the Course says, even if it is or even if it isn't, the only time you can correct anything is now. So even if your past life did have something to do with the way you are today, still the only time you can change it is now. And if you don't believe in reincarnation, which isn't necessary to practice the truth, if you're going to make any improvement, the Course says, the only time you're going to make that improvement is now. Now, the concept of reincarnation is helpful if it helps you accept more of the eternal nature of life, which I think that's what it does. It says, cool. But if you're going to use it as an opportunity to just become preoccupied with the past, still not allowing yourself to move forward right now, then the Course says you're using the idea as a delaying maneuver. That's deep. That's deep. So what I'm saying is that we are greater than we think we are, more powerful than we think we are, waiting to be rescued, but we are not in danger or lost. And then we wonder why the help doesn't come. We're like prisoners who've been pardoned, who are sitting in jail, in the jail cell, on the bunk, with the door open, the guards gone, and the whole prison yard overrun with weeds. Waiting for somebody to come free us. What most people do, rather than walk out of the jail cell of their own limited mind and move into this whole world of freedom and abundance, is they just rearrange their jail cell. They rearrange the furniture in their jail cell. You know what I'm saying? What's that door open for? Let me lock this. This door needs to be closed. So they close the door on themselves because they're so afraid to express themselves that they surround themselves with people who limit them, who won't allow them to be themselves because they are afraid of themselves. So when you're afraid of yourself, it will look like in your world you're surrounded by people who don't support your freedom and you being who you are. They are there at your subconscious request because you are afraid to express your own greatness. The people that are limiting you are there because you are afraid to express your own freedom and your own greatness. And rather than take responsibility for that, we need to have the person in our lives that look like they're holding us back. And that's why it's so hard to leave the people who it looks like you're not getting along with. It's because then you really have to step up. But as long as you got them, you got an excuse for not expressing.
Hallelujah.
So that's why I know he treats me wrong. I know she treats me wrong, but I just can't get out of that relationship. You are afraid of yourself. You are afraid of your own power. You are afraid of your own gifts. You are afraid of your own talents. You are afraid of your own abundance. You are afraid of your own prosperity. And that's why they're there. It's deep, isn't it? You don't have to believe this. Yeah, I'm just giving out some of the stuff from the Course. Now, one of the things that I wanted to touch on is that if you deny that the cause of suffering is in your own mind, you are choosing a reality where it looks like you are the victim of circumstances. If you don't want to accept the idea that what you are experiencing is being caused by your own mind, you are choosing a reality that it looks like you are the victim of everything else, and it looks like everything outside of you has more power than you do. So be glad that the cause of your pain, your suffering, as well as your joy is in your own mind. Be glad that the cause of your lack is in your own mind. Be glad that the cause of your loneliness is in your own mind. Be glad that the cause of your guilt, depression, or fear is in your own mind. Be glad the cause of your harmony, peace, abundance, and joy is in your own mind. Be glad that it's all, the cause of all of it is in your own mind. Because that means you are the one decider of your destiny in time. That's good news. That means you are the one that's deciding your destiny in time. It means that it's not somebody else that can stop you. Nobody else can block you. Nobody else can keep you from having what you want. You are your one decider of your destiny in time. Most people would rather defend the idea that they are a victim than be the one decider of their destiny.
So when you pick this outfit that you're wearing, this go-round,
mm-hmm.
and you have this family,
mm-hmm.
you see a lot of, because, you know, they say you don't pick your family, but apparently you do.
I believe you do.
So you see reflected in your entire family people who feel victimized, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You have selected this group
mm-hmm.
to
remind you to not look at things the way they do. Because they are so wonderful that they are giving you a three-dimensional picture of how, what kind of a miserable life you have when you constantly blame, project, and are a victim without you having to go through the stuff necessarily that they're going through in order for you to learn the lesson. And they have the same power that you do, so at some point they're going to reach the limit of their suffering, and they're going to want to also get in touch with the power of their creative ability to decide their own destiny, just like you woke up to yours.
Maybe not this go round.
Maybe not in this outfit.
Okay.
They might have to do it in jeans.
Some of these people are getting old, and
I know. The body is getting old. And they'll probably have to give it to the Goodwill. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I tell you. But you ever got attached to a pair of pants or a blouse? You know, long after it served its usefulness. I had my baby ball up until about 5 years ago. And I did. And so because of the sentimental value and the attachment, right, we'll hang on to stuff long after it serves us, right? We do that with beliefs. We do that with ideas. We do that with attitudes. We do that with programming that we've gotten, things that we've learned. We hang on to those things long after they've served their purpose. And we won't let them go. But how much would you enjoy a song if there was only one note? As a matter of fact, to play a really beautiful concerto, don't you have to let go of these notes to play the next, to play the next, to play the next? And the more notes you can let go of when you're a musician, the more stuff you can play, right? So when you clean the stuff, it's the same as being a one-note musician. And so you're going, see, some people want to go, but they have to learn how to let go of that note, and the let go of that note is to let go of those ideas that limit you to your past. And the only idea that you have to let go of is the idea that you're sinful, guilty, and a victim, and bad and separate. That's one idea, really, with a lot of different facets to it. Those old ideas, they don't want to go real easily because they have a lot of psychic life, and they're going to try to defend themselves and show you all the reason why you need to stay the way you used to be. But you have to be conscious enough to know it's a trick and invest in the thoughts that you want to see manifest. At first it's kind of hard because the old programming is so strong, and that's why we come together in a group so that we can remind ourselves of what our goal is and help each other achieve it by not interfering with each other's happiness but supporting each other's happiness, which gives us witnesses to the idea that you can be surrounded by loving people who actually let you be and support you in who you are, so that no part of your mind can ever tell you again that you couldn't meet somebody that shares your purpose, that's just like you, that would want to share the same goal with you. So the whole idea that you could have to be alone and willing to express yourself is destroyed, because one witness is worth 1,000 words. One witness is worth 1,000 words. But the old self will try to come up with every excuse that it possibly can to keep you from joining with the people who share your new ideas. But you'll find you have endless patience for the people who make you miserable. Have you ever noticed that? You don't never get too busy for them. The person you're working on, the person that y'all need to get some stuff straight before you can finally have some peace, so you're processing every single friggin' day. Notice how you have endless patience with that joker? And then the ones that love you and treat you real cool and acknowledge who you are, you go, who was that? I don't even remember their name. Let alone call them. Let alone say, let's go out to lunch. Let alone say, let's go out to dinner. Let alone say, let's get together and study some course. And they wouldn't think you were crazy because they want to study the course too. No, I'll go try to study the course with my born-again cousin, Judy. Who's going to think I'm totally insane? That's where I'll go try to hang out. I spent all afternoon trying to convince them of the truth of a teaching that I don't even believe enough to do. That I haven't even got beyond the philosophical stage with. That I don't really practice in my own life, and I'm getting upset with them for not doing something they didn't even study. And don't forget, just because you're studying the truth don't mean your cousins is studying the truth. So just because you come to the class don't mean that they're going to change. What's going to change is your perception of them. Your perception of them is going to change, and then it's going to look like they changed. It's going to trip you out. It's going to trip you out. All those people you've been trying to change, you've been arguing with, trying to work with, the ones you say, I'm the cause of my suffering. I'm the one that's determined, the one determined of my destiny. I'm not going to be a leaping shadow tossed around by the illusions of the world. I'm going to claim my power as a child of God. I'm going to realize I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I'm going to tune into my invisible guidance. I'm going to learn how to tell the truth between love and fear so I stop falling in love with fear, thinking it's love, and running away from love because I'm afraid of it. The Course says we love to fear and fear to love. That we'll trust the scariest people first and be most suspicious of the kind ones. Watch people, they'll do it in a minute. You want to really make people suspicious? Be loving. What you trying to do? What's your game? What you trying to pull around here? You know, but you act like an a-hole, and then they think you're pretty normal. So, you know, well, okay, you're cool, you know. You criticize and judge and condemn and blame it. All right, you're my buddy. You know, but if somebody, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get anything from you. I don't want to manipulate you. I don't want to try to lie to you. I'm going to be who I really am. I'm going to see you as innocent. And then we go, this must be the devil in an angel's cloak. You know what I'm talking about? You'll see it as you begin to wake up. You'll watch people become terrified of you just because you're loving. Because they can't figure you out. They don't know how to deal with a person that's loving. They know how to deal with people that are fearful and suspicious. So people who don't know what love is may be repelled by you. And so at first, it might look like you're not being as attracted to people as you used to be, or maybe it looks like you don't have as many friends around you as you used to, or it might look like people are dropping out of your life. It's simply because you're no longer fulfilling the need that you used to fulfill for them when you were willing to be a victim. And so they need somebody to play the role you used to play. And so therefore they'll gravitate to somebody who will still play that role for them. All right? So you have that in-between stage where it looks like you are more alone than you've been in the past. And that's because you're creating a vacuum, which the universe can't stand, a vacuum. And then the people that are vibrating on the level that you are vibrating on now, that are more in tune with who and what you are, will begin to be attracted into your experience. They'll be attracted into your experience to the degree that you apply the truth for yourself and on yourself. Applying the truth to yourself is the easiest way to do the truth. There is no easier method of doing the truth. Please, you all, resign from the idea of thinking that when you change the people around you, then you'll be happy. please let go of that idea. That idea delays happiness and wastes more time than any single idea that the human mind carries around in it. Take a breath with me. There is nothing in the world that's easier than applying the truth to yourself, because it's only yourself that it even seems like you have the semblance of power over. If it was a choice between getting your mama to do it and getting you to do it, which one's going to be easier? That's the truth. That's the absolute, that's not theoretical. There's no way I could sit here and say, if I could get all of you all to really like me, then I'd be happy. See how stupid that is. I'd have to spend all my time trying to be whatever it is you thought I needed to be for you to bestow on me the gift of your love. And each one of you would have a different idea of what that meant.
And we do it every day.
And the truth is, you're not really sure that's your best guess. Right? We're all coming up with what we think is going to make us happy, right? So the Course in Miracles says, you know, only the Creator's plan for happiness will work. And that plan is for you to simply ask yourself, your real self, yourself, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Who do you want me to say it to? Start asking yourself, what do you want to do? Where do I want to go? What do I want to say? What do I want to do? And who do I want to do it with? That's deep. So, I'll say it again. Be glad that you are the one decider of your destiny in time. The choice is yours. The choice is yours between having a sleeping death. See, the Course says we're having the dream that we are bodies that die. So, and until I die, I'm going to try to see if I can have a pretty good time. That's the game. It's what the Course calls dreams of evil. So we're having a dream that there's something called evil. That's what he said. Yeah, this is an evil dream. What do you mean this is an evil dream? Well, don't you have a dream that there's, don't you have an experience that you think there are evil people out there? Don't you have an experience where it looks like there are people that are like Brent Briggs and Saddam Hussein, and don't it look like there's all these evil people out there? You're having an evil dream. So it's your choice whether you're going to have this dream where you're always afraid about something, the Course says to us, or you're going to have a happy awakening and a joyful life. So I'm choosing between waking up happily and having a joyful life, or always being afraid of dying, thinking I'm looking at a world that there's a lot of things that could go wrong that could hurt me. The Course says those are your two choices. You can either see this world that you've been seeing that has the evil in it sometimes. I know if you're trying to be positive, you'll deny that there's any evil in it, and that's okay. But those of you who are willing to look at the whole picture, those of you who are willing to look at the whole mind, those are going to be people that's willing to admit there's some fear in me, some anger in me, some hate in me, some guilt in my mind, some upset in my mind, and there's some loving stuff, some cool stuff, some harmonious stuff. But the people that go, there's only the good stuff and all I see is the good stuff, you're blind. The stuff you see in the paper happened to somebody. So don't say that stuff don't happen in the world. It does happen in the world. If you deny it happens in the world, then you probably have something in the world happen to you to show you that you're in denial. You'll be a good person that's always having lousy crap happen to you. Those are the denial people. They're the good people that's always having something bad happen to them. Those are the denial people. They are the good people who have something that's always happening to them. The ones that are experiencing more and more safety and beginning to have the awakening to the joy of life are the ones that are admitting that whatever they see in somebody else is somewhere in their own mind too. Yeah. And that they're choosing to try to go beyond that in the way that they live their lives. Those people will have less and less drama, less and less pain, less and less suffering, because they're acknowledging that it's in their mind So there's no need for them to meet it in their world in order to be shown they're deep in denial. So I encourage the people in my personal life to share their deepest, most shadow thoughts safely so that they don't have to meet it in the world by being in denial about what they feel. The reason why people don't want to share their honest feelings, even when they're not nice feelings, is because they think it's something bad, guilty, sinful, or wrong about it. And so they won't admit that they feel hate, anger, and fear, because they think just in admitting that, they're somehow tainting themselves. Because the only thing they got going for them is their nice self-image. You take that away, they already have no money, they ain't got nobody they loving on. So the only thing they got is the fact that they think they're a good person. That's all they got left. So people don't want you to mess with that image of themselves as being a good, nice person. Okay? But let me tell you something. There's a dark Vader in you. As well as the angel. In your mind, your true identity, your real self is totally innocent, totally pure. It's only love. It knows only love and expresses only love. But in the world of duality, in this dream that we're having, in this human experience, in this consciousness that we are experiencing right now, there is love and there is fear. And we have to be honest with ourselves about both of them being in our own mind before they'll start to leave our world. And just by you coming here tonight, you're opening up yourself to the joy of life and the happy awakening. Because to even come here, it meant you had to already believe you were the decider of your own destiny, already believe that you were powerful and innocent, because I'm a result and not a cause. So I didn't show up in your life telling you how cool you were until you believed it enough to create me, to be here to say it to you. I wouldn't be saying it to you if you weren't ordering it. So you know there's a part of you that believes in your power. Thank you for tonight. You are awesome. Woo! Woo! Let's thank whoever said that through me. Woo! Woo! That was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. Now this is time release truth. You might not get some of the things I said to sometime tomorrow. The love offering. Ask the cheerleaders to help me out. I do the Course in Miracles full time. It's all I do in the world, and I thank you, and I thank you for sharing with me and allowing me to be able to continue to do my Course in Miracles truth ministry. So I bless you, and I appreciate you. And Unity Church, part of your donations go to the church, and this is a beautiful space, and thank you for contributing to keep us in this space. And want to invite you to come to the 11 o'clock service here at Unity Temple. If you like to come in, the place is real friendly and it's not huge, so you get a chance to actually have relationships with the people. Then this is a cool place. This is a cool place. Is that the 12th of June?
12th of June.
Yeah, do the Sunday service the 12th of June, but I have three classes a week I do here. And 12 noon on Wednesday. Next one is 1 o'clock on Sunday. So if you want to come and have a witness to your power and your innocence and get in touch with and remember who you really are and have some fun and try to let love come through me too. This is a cool place to come. I'm grateful to you. Really grateful to you. So let me... I didn't get it, did I? Did I get the bag? Did I get the bag?
Nope. No, you haven't
seen it. Okay, well, that just shows you money isn't the top thing on my mind.
Thank you, brother.
Is there any other announcements right quick that need to be made? Yeah,
yeah. Who is that?
Right now, her name is Ricky Byers. I want you to
I want you to know I've given you everything. All the joy you bring. This I swear. I have really decided that we should be friends. Now it looks like we're going around in circles and this deja vu never ends. Sometimes when it looks like we're going to fall in love, sometimes it seems like it never, ever, ever truly be. And we got a lot of emotions. We got to make a decision that we have reached our limit of pain tonight. I'm giving you everything. All the joy you bring, this I swear. And all I want from you is a promise that you will be there. Just tell me you will be here. That you want to be here in peace. That you want to be here in joy. That you're tired of worry and concern. You don't want your life to be a constant struggle of processing and anger and fear. Tell yourself that you're ready to have the happy dream. You're ready to be the one decider of your destiny in time. At this moment, I want you to heal your past. If you'd like to heal your past, this is all you have to tell yourself. Tell yourself that everything that happened to you in your past benefited you. That everything that happened in your past contributed to making you the person that's sitting in this room wanting to be peaceful and loving and prosperous. That your childhood, as you grew up, every lesson that you learned, every experience that you had, serve some higher interest, even if you don't understand how, even if you don't understand why, even if it seemed to be unfair, and even if it looks like it made no sense, bless it right now by telling yourself, everything is for my own best interest. 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 Everything is for my own. Now the course says, tell yourself one other thing, which is, I bless the world because I bless myself. 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 Now before we go out into the lab, remember that copies of the classes are available. Now I want you to picture yourself going out the door. And what I'd like to ask you to do for yourself before you go out the door is to send some love ahead of you right now. Before you head out that door, send some abundance ahead of you right now. Before you walk out that door, send some health ahead of you out there. My brothers and sisters, that is all I believe you deserve. That is all you deserve. Forgive yourself for any errors you think you've made. And so I'd like to complete by saying, may the course be with you. Amen. hoods are available.
This one's